Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts not just be acceptable while we are here, but more importantly, when we leave. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. John Wesley preached a sermon titled The Catholic Spirit. That's Catholic with a little c. It's this openness of understanding. The scripture he used comes from the Old Testament. It's about two kings that hated each other, but they hated somebody else more. And so one king said to the other king, if your heart is as my heart, give me your hand. Because they were going to fight someone they hated more. And he talked about differences. Have y'all ever had the wrong first impression? Have you ever made a mistake? Apparently not. I have. I've had the wrong first impression. I've had made terrible mistakes along the way. I'm a terrible judge of people. When I was in college, right after Henry Ford invented the Model A, or maybe it was a year or two after that, the state of Georgia used to make you have an inspection sticker where you had to take it to an auto shop and they would do all these checks on it. One of the things they had to check was the tread on your tires. Well, when I was a junior in college, my tread was gone, but I had to have my inspection. So I went home, I got the inspection, and they ripped that thing off before I could get tires. I tried to get tires, and the tires wouldn't come in until the next week, so I had to be without a car. And that was a terrible thing as a junior in college. I had to get a ride back to Statesboro. On the next Thursday, I got a call and said, the tires are on your car, you got an inspection sticker. I could not get home fast enough to get my car, which meant I wasn't going to wait till Friday when somebody else might be going to Thompson from Statesboro. I decided I'm going to hitchhike. I ate lunch at my favorite place. I got somebody, and I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was my wife, who was not my wife at that time. She took me about 6 or 7 miles out of Statesboro, just where you turn right to go to Millen. It's in the middle of farm country. I start walking. Eventually, I see a pickup truck coming down the road. I see through the window. I can tell it's a farmer because he's got on bib overalls and a hat. This farmer stops. He lets me in. Where are you going, young man? Well, I'm going to Thompson, but I will go as far as you're going in this direction. Well, I'm going a mile down the road. He took me a mile down the road, and he pulled into this field. He let me out, and I started walking some more. A little while later, here comes another farmer who picks me up and takes me about a mile down the road. I only have 90 of these to go now. And every one of those, they take me a mile down the road. And I came to understand that farmers along the way had been helped by enough people getting their ox out of the ditch or getting the cows back in the pen or something. And so they were paying it forward to me. I had on a pair of tennis shorts, a fraternity jersey, my driver's license, and $5. I figured if somebody's going to kill me, they weren't going to get much. I had those people pegged pretty good. They were good people, salt of the earth. I knew what they were like. Then I see this car coming down the road, and it was a nice-looking car. It was this white guy driving the car, and he sees me, and he pulls over, and I'm thinking, all right, I know this guy. I know who he is. He will gladly give me a ride. I had him pegged. He was going to be exactly the way he was supposed to be. I get in, and I'm saying, I'm going as far as you're going this way, and if you're going to Waynesboro, once you get to Waynesboro, if you're going to Renz, I'm going that way. I'm not going to Augusta. He said, I can take you to Waynesboro. This is a good thing. A mile down the road, I figured out I had made a really big mistake. He was not who I thought he was. I don't know what he was on or what he was drinking, but all I could think of, that lone stoplight in Millen needs to be red when we get to it, because I'm getting out. He was not who he was supposed to be. And he lets me out in Millen, and I was so glad to see his taillights disappear. And I start walking again. And I run into some more farmers. And I then walk some more. I walk probably 5 or 6 miles toward Waynesboro. Somebody picked me up and took me out of Waynesboro. I then keep going. And then all of a sudden I see this truck coming. It was a crew cab. It was a big truck, pickup truck. It had, all I could see was two really large black men in the truck. And I'm thinking, I'm in the middle of nowhere. Okay, and I should have known that I might be picked up by somebody I might not be afraid of. I don't know. What am I supposed to do? And these guys, it ended up being three big black guys in this truck. And they stopped. And I'm getting in the truck, and about the time I sit in the front, they gave me the front seat. The guy looked at me and said, we were thinking we weren't going to pick you up, but then I looked how small you were and how big we were, and I figured we were safe. And I said, well, I was kind of anxious myself. And I said, they said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Thompson. They said, we are too. And they said, where do you live? And I told them, they said, oh, we're going by your house to get to our house. I've never been so happy to see three big black guys in my life. For 40 of the miles that I had to get, they got me there. They wouldn't take any money. They were everything they were supposed to be. And along the way, my mind was changed, because I didn't know the truth. I knew a part of the truth, but I didn't know the whole truth. Sometimes we think we know the truth about people, and we do not know the truth. On Ash Wednesday, I preached from John, the third chapter, the first 20 verses, and we were introduced to Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee, a member of the religious council. He was well respected among his people. He was a good man, right? He was a good man. But he went to Jesus at night. He wanted to talk to Jesus. Maybe he didn't want to be seen by anybody else. He didn't want anybody else to hear what he was going to say to Jesus. And then he tells Jesus, we believe you've been sent by God, because no one could do what you're doing unless God had sent them. And Jesus tells him what he must do to be saved. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He is the epitome of righteousness in the Pharisaic world. That's the third chapter. Nicodemus walks away. We don't know if he was ever saved. Most likely he became a Christian, because he wouldn't have put himself in jeopardy to help bury Jesus with Joseph of Arimathea. And we get to the fourth chapter. And it says that Jesus makes his way through Samaria. He's going out of his way to go toward Jerusalem. Most of us would say he went his own way and didn't listen to ways. Because what he did was, it would be like us going to the Capitol or downtown. Most of us would run down 285, jump on 85, and head south, wouldn't we? But what he did was go the other way. He went on 285 west, north, and west, and ended up at I-20 and turned east. He went a long way out of the way, because he had a divine appointment going on in Samaria. And when he was tired, he sat down by Jacob's well. Now the people of Samaria called that town Shechem. It means oak, like a tree. The Jews of Jerusalem area called it Sychar, which means drunkenness. Their opinions of the place were different, weren't they? The Jews didn't like Samaria because of something that happened 900 years before. God forbid that we hold a grudge for 900 years. And yet we do, too. We have opinions and beliefs about people that are old or are put in us somehow in our DNA. We have feelings. But they split from Judah when Solomon's son Rehoboam was king. Some of you might be reading that now in the Bible. Rehoboam decided he was going to be harder on the people than his father. And there was a revolt. They said, we don't want to be a part of you. So the northern kingdom, which were the 10 tribes, they became Israel, and the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, became the southern kingdom, and they became Judah. Jerusalem is in Judah. And they've been holding a grudge ever since. Somewhere along the way, they're conquered by the Assyrians. The Assyrians come in, then those people who lived in Samaria intermarried, and they just messed everything up according to the Jewish people, and they don't like them. They're second class. They don't care. And so when we look at the third chapter, we see the model of Judaism in Nicodemus, and we see the lowest of the low in the Samaritan woman at the well. Samaritans are looked down upon by Jews, but this lady was looked down by the people of Samaria. That's pretty bad, isn't it? When even bad people look down on you? And Jesus has his divine appointment with her. It's an interesting thing, the way the kingdom of God works. Because what ends up happening so often is that people that we don't think deserve it get it. And people that we think are going to get it don't. Isn't that right? What I have found in my life, and it kind of came to me over the last couple of days, I thought about how we Christians respond to one another. We, in so many ways, look a lot like first century Jews. Remember those four denominations we talked about a week or so ago? You have the Sadducees. They don't believe in the resurrection, so they are Sadducee. The Sadducees, they were all about power. They're in the temple. They're about what's in it for me. And we have church people who are part of the church just because what's in it for me? Is this going to help me in business? Is this going to help me in my connections? Am I going to be able to relate to people better? I'm guessing in your life, you probably know a Sadducee or two in a church. There were Pharisees. Pharisees are those Christians that are all about the rules. And if you don't abide by the rules, and you don't believe exactly the way I believe, there is no place for you here. Then there are the zealots. You disagree with me? You're dead to me. Get out of here. I don't care. I will go to war against you if you're against me. We know some of those people, don't we? Then there are the Essenes. The Essenes are those Christians that don't want to have anything to do with people who disagree with them. We don't want to do anything with them. We will isolate ourselves. And we have all of those within the church. And there is something, a minuscule bit of truth in every single one of them, but none of us have it all right. I told this story at the first service. I had an uncle who was a very conservative Baptist. He was a member of a very small church. He was telling me, before he died, of course, about a meeting they had at church. There were some people who wanted to get everybody in church, after church, to go to the Red Lobster. Has anybody in here ever gone to the Red Lobster? They serve these cheese biscuits, garlic. Y'all ever tasted them? I can't believe it. You really shouldn't go to the Red Lobster. Somebody heard, because they wouldn't admit that they had been to the Red Lobster. They said, I understand they have these great cheese biscuits, but why don't we go there after church? The whole church, go to the Red Lobster for lunch. And then someone brought to their attention that the Red Lobster has a bar. And they shouldn't go to the Red Lobster because they had a bar. Nobody would want their cars to be seen outside the Red Lobster because they would assume that they were in there drinking. Now, does this seem kind of weird to you? Because they didn't want to be associated in any way with sinners. Now, there is a tension here, isn't it? Now, I'm listening to my uncle tell me the story, and I'm trying to keep a straight face. Because about the same time he was telling me that, I was a part of a 9-month program in the North Georgia Conference called New Church Academy, and we went to all these new church plants, and one of the days we went up to Gwinnett County where they were starting a church, and this founding pastor was telling us what he did. And he said, we don't have meetings on Monday night. On Monday night, I go to the bar down the street. I get me a glass of water, and I'm there from 7 to 9 every Monday night. And I just talk to people. They've got a regular crowd that comes in. I'm now friends with the bartender. She has started coming to church. And I've done some interesting ministry with the people who've been coming in the bar. I've been to the hospital when one was having surgery. I've done some neat things with these people. And I thought, my uncle won't go to be with them because they might be associated with sinners. And this one is reaching out to sinners to bring them into the fold. In the Gospel of John, we look at a whole group of people as evil. And we don't know a single one of them. The one who came at night who was righteous, we're not sure if he ever told anyone. And the one who was the lowest of the low because of her behavior told the whole community. Somewhere along the way, we as Christians and we as individuals have got to figure out the tension that God wants us to have, of living in the tension of doing what God has called us to be and to do. Because he wants everybody to know Jesus. And people who are righteous don't share the gospel, and there are righteous people who do, and there are people who are bad sinners who share the gospel. And people come to know Jesus. And we live in that tension of trying to figure out how to do it. But I believe with all that I am that Jesus wants us to be willing to come to the well, to drink the water, to come back to the well over and over again to better understand what truth looks like and what is the complete truth, to be willing to sit down and talk with people we don't agree with, to love people that are different than us. to be willing to share the good news. This past week, I watched this movie called The Best of Enemies. Have any of y'all seen it? Best of Enemies. It came out in 2019. I saw it on Netflix. It's not free because I paid for it. I mean, I pay for it every month. But if you got Netflix, you can watch it. It tells a story about Durham, North Carolina in 1971. They have a fire in one of the black schools. They were trying to figure out how to finish the school year, and it was getting nowhere. And a lawsuit was filed against the Board of Education. I think I got this right. And in the course of that lawsuit, the judge ordered that they would have a charrette, I think that's what it's called. And they got a man from Raleigh to come to town to lead it. They had a large number of people of all stripes, white, black, poor, rich, educated, non-educated. And the two co-chairs were these two unlikely people. One was a man by the name of C.P. Ellis. He was the head of the local KKK. He was unabashedly proud of that. And the other co-chair was a lady named Ann Atwater, who was an African-American woman. And they openly told everybody that they hated each other. And neither were afraid of the other. And when you start listening, watching this movie, and you see what happens, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but it makes me think of the farther we get away from the woman at the well, the more they stay the same. The farther we get away from segregation and integration and all the things that we deal with today, there are things at every turn trying to divide us as Christians, as Americans, as our families. And the thing that we need to do as much as anything is try to learn the truth, the whole truth about everybody. To learn to love like Jesus loves. To be an instrument of the kingdom of God breaking into the life of every human being. And being a part of that. To know what it tastes like to drink that water that wells up within us, that causes us not to thirst no more. May it be so in our life. May it be so in our time. May it be so in our families. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.